special giving, and I thank God for that. Got your Bibles, turn to the book of Judges, chapter 16 this morning. Looking at the Holy Spirit, and I just want to read you something. You say, and this ain't really got anything to do with what God's given us, but I just want to read this to kind of make a point about what it is that God, all that God has given us, and the giving of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Judges, chapter 17, we've got the story of Samson and Delilah. And we find here that Delilah, the voice, she said, "Now what makes you different from any other fella?" And he said, "Well, and what would take away your great strength?" And, of course, he tells her all these lies, you know. Goes to show you right there, he wasn't being very spiritual. The fact he was down there at a harlot's house shows he wasn't too spiritual at that time, but he was still God's man. He still belonged to the Lord. But he come down to this one point, and then it says, "And it came to pass," verse 16, "and it came to pass, she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death." Boy, I tell you what, a nagging woman. Anybody ever had you ever had your wife to press you for something? You ain't been married long then. We've all had them experiences, and there comes time, you know, and it's something about, you know, about the way a woman can ask you certain things that really... But he told her, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, "There have not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God." It'd been a good thing if he'd really remembered that, wouldn't it? He belonged to God. He had something to do for God. He belonged to God, but he forgot about that. And if we're not careful, we'll forget about that as well. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. But he said, "I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Now, his strength wasn't in his hair. Y'all understand that, right? I mean, you know, he wasn't like Popeye, you know. His strength wasn't in it wasn't in a can of, you know, spinach. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't in his hair. The strength wasn't because of his hair. The strength was in the Lord. But he crossed the line with God. And we're going to read today about sin unto death. You can cross the line with God. You can cross. He crossed the line with the Lord. And notice what he said. "And Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, and she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees." Oh, honey, just take your rest. Whole time planning on turning him over. "She called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him." I don't know what that meant. I wonder what she did. She'd already been afflicting him, so what more was she doing to him? I don't know. But she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep, and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." Now, there's a lesson right there just in that fact that he was asleep. The Bible said, "Woe unto them who are at ease in Zion." I think oftentimes in our lives, things can lull us to sleep. We don't realize, you know, what all's going on. We need, if there's ever been a time, we need people with spiritual discernment, it's today. So we know what we ought to do. And I can't say that I've got that, but I should. It's available. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God wants us to be aware. And here he was. He had the Spirit of God upon him, but he wasn't aware of what was going on. He was asleep, laying in the lap of sin. And the Philistines, be upon thee, Samson, he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out at other times, he said within himself. He didn't even talk to God, by the way, had he? He said, oh God, the Philistines are upon me, you know. You going with me? He ain't even talking with God anymore. It's easy to get that way. You're just going through the motions, going to church, going to Sunday school class, going to work, ain't praying, you're not talking to God, just get up and go. And boy, and with him, his get up and go done got up and went. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. And the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, blinded him. He went out the Spirit of God, he couldn't see. Went down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. And the God of this world took him, because he wished not that the Lord had departed. Now the thing I wanted to bring our attention to, here this great man was, had the Spirit of God upon his life. You know, and from the time he was just a baby, amen, and to his adulthood, and he did great things for God. He'd seen God do great and mighty things, but the Lord had departed. I'd just like to bring to our attention, remind us what we have in the Spirit of God. When we were born of God, and God placed his Spirit in us, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Unlike Samson, the Lord had departed. It can never be said of a Christian that the Lord has departed. Amen. Now, I tell you what, though. Sometimes we depart from him. I mean, he's in us. Don't get me wrong. Wherever we go, but our mind is departed from God. Our mind's on everything else besides the Lord. We're not walking with him. We're walking our own way. We're grieving the Spirit of God. Amen. We resist the Spirit of God oftentimes. And that's a sad thing. But there's one thing can never be said, that he wished not the Lord had departed. I've read the Bible, and the Bible is sure. The promises are sure. Amen. And Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I bought you. You are mine. Amen. And unlike Samson wished not that the Lord had departed. Now, I tell you this, though. He still belonged to God. He was still God's youngin. God knew him. He put him in the hall of faith. Amen. Boy, you know, when he got woke up after he got his eyes knocked out, got down there grinding, I can imagine him thinking about all the times that the Lord had been with him. He knew who he began. He had time to remember who he was. When they came out and began to mock him and mock God, what did he say? He called upon the Lord there. It was selfish. It was a selfish prayer. But he knew the only place he could find strength was in God. I ain't saying that he was altogether right with God even then. I don't know. That's between him and God. I let God sort that out. All I know is he called upon him and God came upon him one more time. Amen. Hey, I'd like to say this too. If we get away and we're walking away from God, I believe with all my heart, the Bible says, call upon me. I'll show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. There's a lot of things we don't know. He knew not that the Lord had departed. He knew not the shape that he was in. He didn't know these things. But if he'd have called upon God, if he'd have been a praying man, talking with God and walking with God, he would have seen that he was in a bad place. He would have knew that he was someplace where he shouldn't be. Hey, and he wouldn't have lost his eyes, amen? And he wouldn't have lost the presence of God in his life. I would just encourage us to do what he did after it was too late. And that's to begin to call upon the Lord. Now take your Bibles, turn back to the book of John 14. Just thought I'd read that. Just tell you, that's a great thing I think we have in the fact that we have the Spirit of God indwelt in us is a fact. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to do us like happened with Samson there. He's not going to depart. Oh, we can grieve him. You know, we can quench him. But he ain't going nowhere. He's going to keep on working. He that began a good work in us shall perform it. He's not going to leave us. He's going to finish what he started. Hey, no, Samson in his death slew more Philistines than he did in all his life. All right, look in John 14 and verses 26. The Spirit of God. Because we have the Spirit of God in us, we know that because He lives in us, we looked at some of the great things we had. But simply because the Spirit of God lives in us. And one of these things, because the Spirit of God lives in us, we got somebody to teach us. And here we find in John 14 in verses 26, this great promise. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And I love that end of that part. It says, because he's going to teach us this Bible right here. I can't begin to describe how important this Bible is, because nobody knows other than God. This is as much of the mind of God as the mind is in heaven. This word right here is God. I dare say this Bible, if we had the understanding to unravel it, it would tell us things that, I mean, it would literally blow our minds to even think about. Because we just can't wrap our mind around this book. It is so deep, so powerful. How many times have you read scriptures and you read a scripture and God shows you something, but you come back and you read it again, the very same scripture, and God shows you something else? Or you come back again and you read the same scripture and God shows you something else, and you come back to the same scripture and God just, and the depth of it, I don't think we can really get our minds around it. It doesn't change. The meaning hadn't changed. It means the same thing. The very moment that God said it. But what it means is so deep. Jesus, you can look at Jesus' teaching, and sometimes he taught just as much in his silence as he did in his speech. Oftentimes he taught so much more by simply asking a question than he did answering one. The Word of God, I just can't begin to describe how important it is for us to study this Bible. Because only thing that the Holy Spirit, the only way He's going to teach you, He's going to teach you through this book. He said, because He will bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have spoken unto you. Now, I don't know about none of you. If you do, we need to sit down and talk about this after church. But how many of you have had Jesus come show up in your living room, sit down, and begin to talk to you about things? I mean, just come walk in, sit down, said, now let me tell you, I want to tell you some things about your life and for your life and for your church and for your community. Now, how many of you have had that happen to you? Well, how many of you just laid there in your bed and this voice come inside your mind and begin to talk to you about things, you know what I'm saying? And just tell you, I mean, it said, you're down there at the workplace, you got this, 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 and this, and this, and he began to speak to you outside of this Bible right here. Huh? He'll speak to you through this Bible, but he's not going to speak to you outside of it. He's not going to add to it. It's done. It's finished. God ain't writing no more scripture for us. So anything that God teaches us, He's going to teach us according to this Word. And if He teaches you through your mind, it's going to be because of the Word that you've hidden in your heart. I mean, that's my point. That's what I'm trying. You know, God is not, you know, not coming along and giving no new prophecy. That's what I'm trying to say. So everything that God has to say to us, it's going to be through the Spirit taking this Bible right here and teaching us what God has for us, what God has given us, what God wants to do, what God wants to do through us and for us is going to be found in this Bible. Spend time in the Bible. I mean, give it. You can't spend too much time in the Bible. A lot of people think you can. I don't think you can. I don't think it's so. Now, you might not give enough time to other things, but I guarantee you there ain't none of us who are given too much time to studying the Word of God. We might be giving too much time to football. We might be giving too much time for basketball. We might be giving too much time for the fights. We might be giving all kinds of time for entertainments, but we're not giving too much time for this Bible. We might not be giving enough time for our family, but don't blame it on your study of the Bible. I tell you what, because that Bible is going to encourage you to spend time with your family. Amen? So don't blame it on the Bible. Well, he spent too much time in the Bible, so he don't give time to his family. No, I tell you what, I've been out of order sometimes, but it wasn't because of my study of the Word of God. It actually was because of my ignorance of the Word of God. Sometimes I spent too much time in involved in church. You can get out of order on that. You can give too much time to your service at the church, but you're not going to give too much time in this Bible right here. Never seen it. It ain't going to happen. Your flesh won't let you give too much time to that Bible. It don't like it. Especially when it starts dealing with you about things in your life. Yeah, it just don't like it. Old Samson, it would have done him well to spend more time in the Word of God. He'd have knew he wouldn't have been down there in that harlot's house. But look at this. He will teach you all things. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Now, I think it's important to get that in our head where it says that he shall teach you all things. We understand all things that pertain to godliness. I know some things. I've learned some things. I know God didn't teach me. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's some things that my flesh will teach you. There's some things your flesh will teach you. There's some things this world will teach you. That worldly wisdom. God don't teach you worldly wisdom. God teaches you godly wisdom. So when he says, now he gives you a free will, a free mind, and you can do with that mind whatever you want to. Huh? I can take my time and my mind, and I can study things. And I'm going to tell you what, I'll be at work, and these guys, they're talking football, and they're telling you all these statistics. And stuff. God didn't, the Holy Spirit didn't teach them that. You know what taught them that? They taught themselves that. They went after their own mind, their own will. You know? Now, hey, I guarantee you, I bet you most of them guys could not name all 66 books of the Bible. But they can tell you about the statistics for every guy that plays for Carolina Panthers. I can't even remember Carolina Panthers. But who plays for Carolina Panthers? I mean, they can tell you all this stuff, you know. And they know sports. And they study it, and they know it. What to God, I knew the Word of God as well as they do these statistics on the Panthers. They can quote this stuff, just bam, 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 you know. They sit there and watch these guys, you know, these guys talking, sports analysts, and listen, they study that stuff and take it in. Boy, it takes hours to learn all that stuff. But they do it. Would to God that we would study the Bible that much, that the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm saying, could have us be able, where we just spit it out just like that and know the Word of God like they know that, you know. Now, only the Holy Spirit can teach it, but we gotta want it. We gotta dig in there. Years ago, I had an old Methodist preacher. He told their church, he said, you're going to have exactly the kind of church that you want. You want a church that's led of God, Spirit-filled. You want a church that's, you know, got power. You want a church that's having people born again, new converts. He said, you got to want it. You're going to get what you want. Never forgot that. I said, he's exactly right there. If you want a church that's governed by God and run by God, then that's the kind of church you have. You want a church that's run by men, that's what you'll have. You know? Sad to say, for the most part, they had a church that was being run by women. I'm serious. It wasn't their fault. It was the men's fault. They weren't willing to step up. But the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And now what would the Holy Spirit teach? Take your Bibles, turn to John 15, verses 26. But when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you, will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Look over also in verses 16, verses 14, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now, this Holy Spirit of God, thing that we can be sure of, what he's going to teach us is truth. Is truth. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not something this world is too much interested in. And what is truth? Everybody's got a truth that they think is true. But that doesn't mean that it's truth. Just because we believe something. You know what I mean? Just because we believe something, just because we've got some things that says this is true, does not mean that it is true. There's a lot of sciences out there. It says that certain things are true. And buddy, they got statistics and they do this, but it doesn't mean it's true. You know why? Because they don't have all the information. How many of you remember here a while back, this stuff was all in the news about these atom smashers? You know why they had that thing? What they're looking for? They was looking for the God. They said the God ingredient. Because they know they don't have all the information. They don't understand matter. How it exists. They don't. They don't know how. No, nobody understands how anything exists other than God. They don't know what holds this stuff together, but we do, don't we? The Bible says, by him all things consist, and everything is held together by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We know that. They don't know that. They're trying to figure it out. They don't have all the information. Now, they have a lot of information that I don't have. They know a lot of scientific truths that I don't know. And I wouldn't argue with them about that. I wouldn't. I wouldn't have a chance. You know what I mean? When they get done, they start laying out the mathematics involved and different things, you know, and chemistries and all kinds of stuff. I wouldn't have a chance against them. Because they give themselves to know it. Be like me trying to argue football with them guys I work with. I ain't going to get no word with them. But I'm like old brother Ed Blue said one time about this old police officer. Pulled him over. He was speeding. He was going down the road listening to some preaching. Boy, and the man, the hotter the preaching got, the heavier his foot got. And by that time, he saw this blue light. He said, oh, no. This guy pulled him over and got out there. He said, can I see your driver's license and registration? He said, he got up there and he said, back then, he said, they used to put a little thing on your occupation. And he had over there and said, Reverend. Reverend Ballou. He said, you a preacher? He said, yes, sir. He said, you a preacher and you out here speeding? Is that what you want people? Yeah, is that what you teaching people? You know, you get out here just breaking the law. And he said, man, he began to preach and gnaw and chewed on him. He said, oh, my goodness. I said, he was preaching. He said, I just knew any moment he's going to pass the plate for a collection. I said, I was the only one there to give. But But he comes back, and he said, what kind of preacher are you? He said, now it's my turn. He said, I'm a saved preacher. He said, well, I know that. And I said, what kind? He said, well, I'm a saved Baptist preacher. He said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah, sure. Go ahead and ask me a question. He said, well, I read something in the Bible that says it's bothering me. He said, I went to my preacher about it. He said, don't you worry about it. You're going to be the best kind of police officer. Leave the preaching up to me. You just do like I tell you to do. Ain't much preacher to everybody. He said, well, what verse was that about? He said, over there, he said, in the book of John, chapter 3, Nicodemus was talking to Jesus, and Jesus told him, said, you must be born again. He said, you know about it? He said, oh, yeah. He said, you must be born again. He said, if I was ever born again, you reckon I'd know it? He said, yes, sir, you would know it. He said, well, I've did this, I've done that. And he said, but I don't know that I've ever been born again. And he began to then teach him Jesus. See, a lot of these people, they know a lot of stuff that we don't know. And if you ain't careful, they'll intimidate you. But let me tell you something. God didn't give you, the Holy Spirit's not going to teach you about everything to do with chemistry and everything to do with, you know, the elements of this world and how it was created. He ain't going to tell you everything. You know what I'm saying about that? But there's one thing that he will teach you. He will teach you what a man needs to go to heaven. And he'll teach you that so you can let another person know. I ain't saying that you know how it takes place. I'm not saying that because we don't know. Only the Spirit of God knows that. But we can tell them what Christ Jesus did for the world, how he hung on the cross and died for their sins and paid for the debt of sin and now has made a way. And Jesus is the way, amen. And what truth will he teach you? Who is the truth? Amen. I am the way. He didn't say a truth either, by the way. I am the truth. Now, if you want to know the truth about creation, you want to know the truth in all science, it's found in Christ Jesus. Because he created it all. Amen. And all truth is found in him. And the only way you can understand, even begin to understand creation and really see, you can get there and study all that stuff, boy, physics and, you know, and chemistry and all that thing, but you'll never, ever truly know it apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in truth. You'll learn some statistics. You'll learn some knowledge. You'll gain some insights, but you'll never, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's this world. It's ever learning. What an information age. There's plenty of information out there, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And so who is he guiding us to? Who is he teaching us about? The truth. And his name is Jesus. He said he won't speak of himself. Who's he going to speak of? Jesus. So who is he teaching us about? If you were to take that word, that he shall guide you into all truth, you can take that and say, he's going to guide me to Jesus. He's going to guide me to Jesus. There's just certain words in there, but you can, if you want to, anytime you want to, you can interchange it and put the name Jesus in it. If the Holy Spirit's going to show us the way to heaven, What's he going to show us? He's going to show us Christ Jesus. Amen. Because he is the way. And there is no other way. Amen. Look about this. Look here now in John 16. In John 16 verses. We find when he has come, he will, verse 8, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because, why? They believe not on me. You see, because Jesus has taken away the sin of the world. So what sin do they have? the Calvinists, the fact that they rejected him. That's it. The Calvinists said, well, he died for the sins of many. Well, he did. But he also died for the sins of all. He tasted death for all men. And that word there could have been mankind. He died for the sins of all men. But all men aren't saved, are they? But he did save all men. Buddy, just because I ain't got it doesn't mean he didn't do it. But it's just like on Christmas Day. Somebody said, I got you a gift out there under the tree. You say, well, I don't need anything else. I got all I want. Guess what? You don't get it, do you? Well, God Almighty provided a gift for this world. And he's been given. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it's been given. The price has been paid. Salvation has been bought for every man, boy, woman, and child. But everybody don't have it because all of them hadn't received it. Amen? This ain't much. And that's kind of the way probably most people look about salvation. It ain't much. But it's bright and shiny. Amen? I'd like to give this to Brother Jim. Would you like his penny? They say he don't want that penny. Guess what? He don't get it. Amen? If he don't want it, he don't get it. God Almighty's provided a gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the most part, you know what? The world don't want it. You come around, you offer it to them. See, that's the way this world is. You know, you come offering. Boy, good night. Is anybody in here? Yeah, he wants it. Amen. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness. What do you think that righteousness is speaking of? Human righteousness? There is what? None righteous. No, not one. There's only one it could be speaking of, the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. And who is the righteousness of God that was shown to the world? The Bible said it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's he speaking of? He shall not speak of himself. Who's he going to speak of? He said, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Amen. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He brought judgment, boy. He brought judgment. I mean, he fulfilled the law, and there's nothing that the devil can say against it. You've been judged. You've been found condemned. Why? Because you believe not on me. He'll teach. He's come to teach, and he's come to teach this world of their sin. He's come to teach this world of the righteousness of God. He's come to teach this world of judgment that's to come. And you either accept me, he said, or are you going to follow your father, the devil? Amen. You either going to change families or you going to perish. He didn't say, okay, you quit being this and you quit doing this. He didn't say that. He said, because they believed not on me. A lot of people, and I'm teaching over to the nursing home. Guy come in and said, well, you got to live it. You got to. I said, well, you can't live it. The Bible's made it plain. You can't live it. He said, well, you got to confess your sins. I said, I can't even remember all my sins. How many of them I got to confess? If it has to do with my confessing of sins to get forgiveness from God, how many do I got to confess? I said, explain to me. You want to preach something to me. You want to teach something to me. Explain it. Show it to me in the Word of God. How many sins I have to confess? Which ones do I have to confess? And where can I go to get the remembrance of them? He said, well, you know, you can go over there and you can pray that prayer that David prayed. Cleanse me from my secret faults. I just can't find that in the Bible. What I find is that God's calling us to repentance. And that repentance is repenting from our unbelief and begin to believe God. Repent of your unbelief and now believe me. Jesus Christ took care of the sins, and once He gets in us, He'll work on our sins. Amen. So I'm afraid we're doing like a lot of preachers I said, we're trying to clean the fish before we catch them. Amen. Get them out. They ain't going to clean up too good out there in deep water. You know, you get them, you catch them, you get them in, and the Holy Spirit of God will clean them up. Look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verses 1. And brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, a good thing, or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Sounds like the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? He didn't speak of nobody but Jesus Christ. And I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, that couldn't have been Paul, right? Because he just said, I came to you in weakness and in much trembling. So the power was of the Holy Ghost. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet, and what has made you perfect, by the way? That's right. It's that new man in you. It's perfect. That's the Holy Ghost, baptized into the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He is the perfect one that abides in us. Among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. See, he said their wisdom comes to nothing. What they know comes to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know. They were ignorant. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us. How? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man is which is in him? See, that's why you're wise, not to pat me or any other man on the back for what he's doing, because you don't know what's in us. Now you can the Spirit of God, you can you know what I mean? We can work together but don't go around backslapping people too much. You know what'll happen? You'll hurt them. Next thing you know, you got somebody up on some kind of pedestal. Man, I'm telling you what, I can't believe he done that. Why? He's a man. I can't believe that happened. Why? What does the Spirit say about your own self? You going to put yourself up on a pedestal? You going to brag on yourself? Huh? About how good you are? Why will you brag on another man? Encourage him. Love him. Don't brag on him. Just let him know, buddy, I'm for you. I'm behind you. I'm praying for you. You know what I'm saying? I need to hurry up, I know. But notice it. But God hath revealed them unto His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth things of man, save the Spirit which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. He'll receive the things of man. He'll receive the wisdom of this world. He'll receive the wisdom of men. But he cannot. I said he cannot receive the wisdom of God. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. For they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But notice this, but we have the mind of Christ. I'm going to close there this morning. Next week we're going to look over in Philippians at the mind of Christ. You might go over and read the second chapter, book of Philippians. Think a little bit about that. We have the mind of Christ.